Thank you. Be seated. Court is ready to hear oral argument from the Lator and Scherer versus Court of Appeals.
May it please the Court, Mr. Hugh Lowe will present argument for the Lator. The Lator is reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the Court, I'm Hugh Lowe. My partner Jody Hellman is here with me. We represent Nancy Scherer and Sam Graham, who are the successor guardians of the estate of Richard Milton, an incapacitated person. The first thing I want to do, I have the permission of my clients to waive any claim that mandamus was not an appropriate remedy. We're not pursuing that. I'm going to go over the facts just briefly enough that the Court will have a context of what we're talking about on the jurisdictional question. In 1995, Mr. Milton attempted suicide. It was a failed attempt. He ended up being in a vegetative state and lives in a nursing home. Shortly after that, his wife, Gita Milton, applied for and became his guardian. Within about a year of that, Judge Herman, the probate judge in Travis County Probate Court Number 1, determined that there may be some problems with the guardianship and appointed an attorney ad litem. There was a hearing. He determined there were problems, and he advised her she needed to go fix them. The nature of them are set out in the brief. The very next day, she went to the district court in Travis County and filed for divorce. Then she resigned as guardian. There was a successor guardian then appointed, and that was Ms. Scherer. Ms. Scherer filed in the probate court a motion to transfer the divorce proceeding over to the probate court. That was granted. That subsequently was halted by mandamus by the Austin Court of Appeals, and we're here today to ask this court to reverse the Austin Court of Appeals, mandamus the Austin Court of Appeals to undo its order. The issue in this case is the propriety of a transfer order executed by a probate judge in a guardianship case, moving divorce proceedings of the ward from the district court over to the probate court. Further, as a matter of introduction, the court, I think, should understand this case is only about property. That's really what it comes down to. There are three issues in
the court. But it might not be. It might not be about property. It might be about custody or...
And let me go on that a minute, Your Honor. And I'm talking now not just about this case. I understand. I'm going to talk about all guardianship cases that would get in this situation. I don't care about this case in particular. You're dealing with something bigger than that. Divorce is no fault. It's simply a non-issue about what court grants a divorce. There's nothing to it. Child custody will never be a question for an incompetent ward. An incompetent ward is not going to have custody of a child. Cannot. The division of the property and the child support issues are the only thing that's ever going to be at issue in a case of this nature. The court should also understand that we're talking about a limited number of cases. We're only talking about cases where we have a ward, a guardianship established in the probate court.
Couldn't we have a custody dispute in a case like that? Let's say the grandparents.
You could.
Who are the parents of the ward of the probate court, decide that they would like to have custody of the child rather than the spouse.
You could. You could have that, and as I will come to, the probate court has ample experience to deal with that sort of thing because the probate court has to choose who is going to be a minor's guardian on many occasions and does that on the basis of the best interest of the child.
Would there be anything to preclude a probate court from deciding the property issues and sending the matter back to a district court for consideration of custody issues?
Not if this court so decided, but I think that this court should not decide that. And yes, I think there would
Why
be
not?
Something to preclude.
Why not?
I think that the probate court has an express grant of jurisdiction over this matter, over this divorce proceeding, and that mandatory jurisdiction lies in the probate court. 607 of the probate code says that if this is a suit appertaining or incident to a guardianship estate, if it's a suit appertaining or incident to a guardianship estate, it must be brought in the probate court. And if it's not brought in the probate court, it can be transferred back into the probate court just on the say-so of the probate judge. If it is a suit by or against the guardian, then it must also be brought in the probate court but it can't be transferred if it's brought elsewhere.
Only if it's appertaining or incident to.
Only if it's not appertaining or incident to.
And, of course, you can say it's mandatory, but the statute doesn't say that a family law matter is appertaining or incident to a guardianship matter.
The statute does not say that.
So it's not mandatory on the face of the statute. It's mandatory based upon the interpretation you want to put on those words.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Would the probate court exercise continuing jurisdiction over the children?
Not only would, but does. This is one of the conflicts in jurisdiction. It really doesn't make any difference what the district court says about child support. The probate court has an ongoing obligation to see to it that the ward's dependents are supported. I don't know what happens if there is a child support order for $500 a month, and the probate code tells the probate judge that once a year, you're going to do these things. You're going to examine the annual account. You're going to see how the ward is living. You have to approve all expenditures in advance. You do all of these things, and you have responsibility for determining spousal and child support, dependent support.
Okay, so the probate court then, once it transferred a case like this in, would exercise continuing jurisdiction over the children of the divorce?
It would. I don't see how it could not. But I don't know whether it could change the district court's order. That would be a conflict in jurisdiction. The structure of the probate court jurisdiction is, as I was asked a minute ago about whether it's mandatory or whether it depends on interpretation, the case shall be brought in the probate court if it's by or against the guardian. And I don't think that calls for an interpretation in this case.
Right.
It's hard for me to understand how this cannot be a case by or against the guardian.
Let me ask you this. If a child custody matter relating to a divorce can be appertaining or incident to a guardianship matter, are there any bounds, any limits on what would be appertaining or incident to a guardianship matter? As long as you have the guardianship matter filed first, I really can't see any limitations placed upon what could be brought into the probate court.
Well, the limitation on the appertaining and incident to is that those have to be cases in which the controlling issue is the settlement, partition, or distribution of the ward's estate. That's under the ruling in Cobblewald and Say.
Well, if you're going to put that limitation on it, then child custody doesn't fall within that category.
Well, and my argument is that in this case, those really are the controlling issues. That was why I was saying to the court, divorce is not a controlling issue just because it's a non-issue. Child custody is, at least the child custody between the ward and the spouse is not an issue because the ward cannot have custody. It's so strictly property, and that, there's no question, all of that's incident.
But no, I mean, as we've talked about it, it's incident appertaining to the guardianship, and you decide that you have parents or grandparents or somebody else involved in the whole situation, it can easily be constructed in such a way that ongoing child custody issues are going to have to be resolved in the probate court.
And it might well be, and the probate court has that jurisdiction, even if you don't believe that it is a controlling issue, the probate court has that jurisdiction because it has dependent and ancillary jurisdiction necessary for judicial economy. And that's exactly the sort of thing I think that statute is designed to get to.
So getting back then, applying all of that, I see no bounds on the limits of the types of matters that can be brought into probate court.
First of all, the case itself, the controlling issue has to be the settlement, partition, distribution of the estate. Once that's determined, then there is pendent and ancillary jurisdiction that can bring in other things. This court is certainly competent to craft as cases come along, so the courts of appeals limits on what ancillary jurisdiction can bring in. But the legislature hasn't spoken, and indeed this court has spoken, that if it is incident and appertaining to the estate, that's where it belongs, and indeed can be transferred in there. The limitation would be on the dependent jurisdiction. Yes, sir.
Let me ask a question. I understand that the property settlement's been settled.
Their
property issue's been settled.
Not settled. There's been a decree entered and a motion for a new trial filed.
Okay. I thought it was represented that the property issues were settled. Maybe they were making reference to the decree that's been entered. So now all that's left is just child custody issues or child support issues?
No. Everything has been determined. a decree has been entered, but it's not a final order because a motion for new trial has been filed, and it will be appealed, I understand, by Mr. Graham.
I'm sorry, we there.
And as a part, well, I'm trying to figure out where we are. So as a part of that, won't this issue be a part of the appeal?
It certainly would be. And that's exactly why I'm not pursuing the question whether mandamus is an appropriate remedy. I don't want to bring it back up and have to deal with this on appeal.
What about the fact that the legislature granted family law jurisdiction to courts in Williamson B. and Angelina counties?
I think that's a very interesting point, Your Honor. Let me read to you some of the jurisdictional grants. First of all, let's start with the proposition that the family code says it defines court as a court, as a district court, a juvenile court with the same jurisdiction as a district court, or a court expressly given jurisdiction to take a case under this title. And this title, the first time that appears, that's under the dissolution title. The second time, it's under the parent-child title. And so you got this question of what is the express grant of law? Does the grant to these county courts at law say you have jurisdiction under these two titles? It does not say that. It's the same broad kind of jurisdiction that the probate court is given. In Henderson County, for example, I won't go through these. You can find it in the government code, or I'll cite it later. In Henderson County, it says the court has concurrent jurisdiction with the district court in family law cases and proceedings. In Kaufman County, the statutory county court has, except as limited, the jurisdiction provided by the Constitution and the general law for district courts. The same jurisdiction as the district court has, except. There are certain things it can't do, having to do with county commissioners, capital murder, suits by the state, official misconduct, and contested elections. Now, is that court expressly given jurisdiction under the family code? I think that certainly the Coffin County Court would say it is. That's exactly the same kind of jurisdiction that's given to the probate court. Montgomery County. It is given jurisdiction over family law cases and proceedings, and then, for reasons I can't comprehend, cases under Chapter 159 of the Family Code. That's the parent-child section. I don't know why they say on one hand that there is jurisdiction over family law cases and proceedings, and then say it's specifically under 159. This broad language, cases and proceedings involving justiciable controversies and differences between spouses or between parents, or between parent and child, or between any of these and third persons, corporations, trustees, or other legal entities. So the grants of jurisdiction to these county courts at law that are awarding divorces all over the state are these same kinds of broad, general grants that have already been given to the probate court in the probate code, both under the guardianship section and under the decedent's estate section.
What harm is likely in a case if it involves a guardianship or a ward under the guardianship, and it is, and the divorce proceedings are conducted in the district court? What jurisprudential problems are there?
And by divorce proceedings, Your Honor, how much are you including that? The whole thing?
The
property and everything?
Yes, sir.
Well, one of the questions, as I mentioned a while ago, is what happens about ongoing child support orders? Another thing is the district court is in no position to maintain any sort of monitoring over the condition of the ward's estate, and that's exactly what the probate court does. It's a dependent administration. A much more appropriate thing and sensible thing in terms of the structure of the probate code and general jurisprudence would be the divorce court can handle the divorce, to solve that marriage, if you're going to split this up. But the divorce court could even say, here's how I'm going to divide the community property. But the determination of the property should come from the probate court, who is charged by law with determining what assets that heir has. The damage to the heir, I'm sorry, not the heir, the damage to the ward in such a case is that his rights are being determined by a court that is not accustomed to it, that is not charged by law to do certain things such as balancing the interest. The probate court is charged to balance the interest between the ward and the child. His entire his entire case is being taken over by a court that is dealing with a whole different set of standards from what the guardianship was set up for.
But as the probate court indicated in this case, the probate court may not have much awareness of divorce proceedings.
The probate courts have familiarity. I want to run through that for a minute if I have time. Let's talk about what. I'll come back to it later. Thank you.
You want to hear the answer?
I'll hear it all in a moment.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
The court is ready to hear arguments from Ms. Romnick.
Okay,
the
court, Ms. Amy
Romnick,
and Ms.
Your Honors, before I start my argument, I would like to correct some factual statements that were made by Mr. Lowe that are not correct. While I don't think that it has much bearing on what this court has to decide, Gia Milton did not file for divorce the next day after the hearing in probate court. The hearing in probate court was held December 11, 1996. She filed for divorce on January 27, 1997. Also, with respect to what is going on right now in the district court, it is absolutely not correct that there is an appeal going on of property issues. The parties entered into a written Rule 11 agreement on September 5, 1997, settling all property issues at that time. That Rule 11 was filed with the court the same day. It was a mediated, non-revocable, binding settlement agreement. It settled all property issues in the case. It was filed with the district court. And in that Rule 11 agreement, which has been provided to this court, the party specifically agreed that the guardian would not contest jurisdiction in the district court of the divorce matter. That was specifically agreed to in the Rule 11. They have agreed that's not an issue anymore as far as they are concerned. The party held
I don't understand, then. Is this moot?
I filed a motion claiming it is, Your Honor.
Do you still maintain it?
Yes, I do.
Well, are you saying it's moot because of the Rule 11 agreement, or why?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Because of the Rule 11 and the subsequent decisions by Judge Kidd. On September 15th...
Well, let me understand the mootness issue, because that concerns me. What is in controversy, other than a dispute between the district judge and the county court law probate judges? What's the dispute here? But the parties have settled the dispute.
That's correct, except for one issue.
Except for one.
Let me finish my narrative, and maybe that will answer some of the questions the court would have. On September 15th, we had a hearing in front of Judge Cooper. That was the trial date. At that time, she rendered judgment. The only thing that was not absolutely rendered at that time was the issue of child support. The parties had agreed to set up a trust with some separate property stock owned by Mr. Milton, with 420 shares of stock in a company called Palomar, that everybody agreed were his separate property. It was agreed a trust would be set up, but if a trustee could not be found within, I believe, 20 days, then the parties would have to revisit that issue and have a contested hearing before Judge Cooper on child support. We were not able to set up a trust or find a trustee within 20 days. We had a hearing on December 17, 1997, in front of Judge Cooper. Mr. Graham wanted to set up a trust that was a special needs trust for the ward, where the children were not the only beneficiaries, but also the ward, which was not the agreement. So we had a contested hearing on child support. Judge Cooper ordered that three-quarters of the stock be given outright to Gita Milton as an advance lump sum payment of child support under the family code. I would also note, in reply to what Mr. Lowe said, Judge Herman himself entered an order on October 7th incorporating all the property settlement agreements that were reached in the district court and revising his prior order of July 30th to rescind that order and to incorporate all the property settlement agreements reached in the district court. So, I mean, I don't know where counsel's coming up with this idea that he has any ability at this point to represent that there's an appeal. of the property issues. There is none. The only thing they can appeal, the only thing that was not agreed in Rule 11 that we had a contested hearing on before Judge Cooper was how that stock would be paid out as child support. That's the only issue, to my mind, that I know of, that they haven't reached an agreement that was a binding agreement in that court.
Where do we have two final judgments?
Yes, Your Honor, we have one in probate court and we have one in district court. We have a final judgment in the guardianship case by Judge Herman, discharging the guardian,
granting a divorce.
No, he didn't. The Court of Appeals ordered him not to do anything further in the divorce, and while it's our position he didn't completely honor that order, he did not purport to grant the divorce in that order. He simply purported to wind up the estate, the guardianship estate. And then Judge Cooper in the district court entered an order divorcing the parties, not Gita Milton and the guardian, but Gita Milton and her husband. And so
I'm sorry, maybe I haven't finished your narrative, but won't the probate court have to approve the transfer of the ward's property to his ex-wife?
The probate court has to approve any settlement that is reached by the guardian. If the guardian wishes to reach a settlement with Ms. Milton, that has to be approved by the probate court. But no, Your Honor, I think the district court has the right to make any order it chooses regarding either division of the community estate or payment of child support, and then that comes out of, Judge Herman does not have to approve that.
Let's talk about this.
All right.
On the payment of child support, can the probate court refuse to transfer the ward's assets to pay child support?
In my opinion, no.
Now, but doesn't the probate court make that call?
No, Your Honor, it does not. I think the district court does.
Under the probate statute, dealing with the ward's assets, doesn't the probate code say the probate court makes that call?
Well, I know that, first of all, child support is an obligation of the ward, and if a district court has ordered that child support be payable by the ward, I think the probate court has no jurisdiction to countermand.
But isn't that the reason the probate code was written the way it was, to avoid conflicts between the court assigned the specific task of assessing the ward's estate as opposed to claims made against the individual now as the ward of the probate court?
Well, I think you're right that it was intended to avoid conflict, and the only way conflict would occur would be if a probate judge attempted to overstep his or her jurisdiction and, in effect, make an order that child support was not going to be payable out of the ward's estate when clearly, under the family code, it was entitled to be paid.
My question, this whole matter started out because of the transfer order the probate judge entered, taking jurisdiction of the divorce case. Is that correct?
That's why we're here, Your Honor.
Yeah. But we have two courts are entering conflicting, or both operating in the same area over the same issues, the divorce, the property, the child support, and so forth. Is it your position that the probate court doesn't have jurisdiction to do that, assuming that that's where this whole thing could start?
Yes,
that
sure.
The probate court couldn't take a divorce case because it doesn't have that power.
That's right. It
so, in your view, it doesn't have the power to transfer.
That's correct.
Why isn't this suit by or against the guardian?
This, well, first of all, under Section 607 of the Probate Code, Your Honor, I don't think that is one of the areas defined as a suit by or against a guardian, first of all. So, under the Probate Code itself, it's not a suit by or against a guardian. Second of all, I think as Justice Abbott had asked earlier, then if it is, then there is no bound to what is a suit against a guardian, assuming there's a guardianship and the guardian's involved in a lawsuit.
Isn't that because the ward has no capacity to sue or be sued under the law?
Well, yes, that's correct. But there are some
instances. How can he be a party to a lawsuit?
Well, in the matter of a divorce, Your Honor, first of all, a divorce between a husband and wife is an in rem action. It's divorcing two people. You can't divorce the guardian. The guardian is the representative of the ward because clearly the ward has to have someone representing his interests. And if there had not been a guardianship already in this case, then clearly the district court would have had to appoint a guardian ad litem for the ward and an attorney ad litem for the ward.
So what's the difference then if you've already got one in place?
Not a problem, Your Honor, except the guardian has to appear in district court in order to get the ward divorced. The guardian does not have the power to transfer to the probate court. The family
has... Well, you say that, but it depends on what the statute says.
Well,
I mean, even we can't do that. I mean, it depends on what the statute says.
Right, and it's our position, Your Honor, that the statute, the probate code, does not say that. It does not include family law jurisdiction. And on that point, let me go a little...
But does it exclude it?
Well,
don't
let me go
they just usually say, in these cases, that the probate court's got the same jurisdiction as a district court?
But it doesn't say that.
Involving guardians.
Well, but it doesn't, yes, but this is a matter under the Texas Family Code to divorce the parties, make a just and right division of
the
community
state. Well, up until 87, only district courts could exercise jurisdiction for divorces.
That's right.
But that's not the case since 1987.
Well, but it has to, district courts are courts of original jurisdiction that have broad jurisdiction under the Texas Constitution. A probate court is a statutory creation, therefore it only has what jurisdiction is given it by the legislature.
And the legislature is elected to give it this jurisdiction, the same as the district.
Yes, but the legislature did not give it family law jurisdiction. The Travis County Probate Court Number 1 has not been given family law jurisdiction by the legislature. The probate code says nothing about it. I would also point the court to Section 609 of the probate code.
Is it your position then that there has to be a statutory statement that says we give this Travis County Probate Court divorce family law powers?
Yes, Your Honor.
Without that statement, it doesn't have any jurisdiction.
That's correct. With respect to section, I think the probate code implicitly acknowledges that the legislature did not intend to give family law jurisdiction to the probate court. If you go further in the probate code, past section 607 and 608 regarding transfer, section 609 of the probate code specifically states, 609B, that a probate court can transfer a case out of the probate court to the court of jurisdiction. And it specifically then mentions family law cases and says the probate court can transfer a family law case to the district court. But it says nothing about it flowing the other way. It says if it's a matter in a suit affecting parent-child relationship and there's a district court out there already hearing the SAFSR, then the probate court, in effect, can take whatever is affecting the ward or the guardianship in the probate court, transfer it to the district court.
But if it may transfer, that sort of assumes it has jurisdiction.
Yes, but transfer away from itself because
it's
determined.
Or it could keep it.
Yes.
Well, how could it transfer if it doesn't have jurisdiction in the first place?
No, a district court would have considered jurisdiction.
Probate court. How could it transfer something over which it does not have jurisdiction?
Let me pull section 609, Your Honor, but what it specifically says in 609, and maybe it would be faster for me simply to cite it, it says contested guardianship of the person or the minor, and then it states if an interested person contests an application for appointment of a guardian or seeks removal of a guardian of a minor, the judge on the judge's own motion may transfer all matters relating to the guardianship of the person or the minor to a court of competent jurisdiction in which a suit affecting the parent-child relationship under the family code is pending. So it can't reach into the district court and touch that case and bring it into the probate court, but it does have the power to transfer to the district.
Which means
court.
It must have had the power to have the case vested in it within its jurisdiction in the first place.
In any guardianship of a person or a minor, yes, Your Honor, I would agree with that. Certainly, that's what a probate court does. That's very different from SAFSA. And I would also point out...
Well, it has to transfer.
No, It's permissive language.
Let me ask you this. Is that particular provision contemplating the situation where you have, let's say, a guardianship proceeding, and after the guardianship proceeding is already in existence, then a family law matter arises? So in other words, at the time that jurisdiction vests in the probate court, that family law matter doesn't exist, so the probate court doesn't have jurisdiction over that matter already. It's a matter that comes up, and then it's incumbent upon the probate court to transfer that matter out to the district court when that matter does arise. Is that what is?
Well, I think what it's saying is it's the discretion of the probate judge whether to transfer it to the district court or not. How I read it.
Which means that the probate court could keep it.
Yes.
And have jurisdiction over the transfer
matter. Yes. No. What the probate, under 609, what the probate court could keep is only matters that already came under its jurisdiction. It's saying if there is a contested guardianship or removal of a guardian, which nobody is arguing here is not under the probate court's jurisdiction, that could be transferred to the district court. It's a one-way street. This statute says nothing about giving family code jurisdiction to a probate court, nothing. It flows the other way.
And that particular provision you're citing pertains to all statutory county courts, all statutory probate courts, correct?
All statutory probate courts. It uses the word probate court.
And there are some statutory county courts where the legislature has specifically said those courts may entertain jurisdiction over family law matters.
That's correct.
And they have said nothing in that regard with regard to probate courts in Travis County.
It specifically says nothing about it. In fact, Section 25.2293 of the Government Code, which is enabling legislation for the Travis County Probate Court, number one, not only does not mention family law jurisdiction, but it says the probate judge must obtain the permission of the district judge in whose court the case is pending before it can transfer any case to itself. And that was not done here either. It was simply entered an order transferring the case. So that provision was also not complied with.
Do you agree with Mr. Lowe's characterization that the controlling issue in the divorce case was a matter appertaining to your incident to the estate, the guardianship estate?
No, I strongly disagree.
In his brief, he lists the various issues relating to property that were at issue. Those, and is it your position that those were not the predominant issues, and that the predominant issues had to do with a contest over the divorce or over the child custody matters?
No, Your Honor, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, I think clearly a just and right division of community property was the predominant issue, and setting child support for the child. Mr. Lowe is correct that certainly there was no dispute in custody between Gita Milton and her husband. There was always the potential for a grandparent suit. It didn't happen, but there was potential for that. But the difference is that the probate court, I think, and the Court of Appeals agreed, is probably under a duty to protect the ward and divide the community estate 50-50. The probate judge in this particular instance was not familiar with the Texas Family Code.
Now, my question is, I want to know what the controlling issue in the case that she filed in the district court was.
The just and right division of community property and what are in the best interest of the child.
Was it a determination of what was community at issue?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Was it a characterization of the estate at issue? What was community at
issue? No, Your Honor, because the parties settled that issue in Rule 11, and so it would have been a contested issue, but it was settled before trial, and Judge Herman approved that. And other than waiving competing reimbursement claims against each other, the settlement pretty much followed Judge Herman's characterizations, which had in part been agreed to by the parties before the hearing in front of Judge Herman. But I would certainly disagree with Mr. Lowe that the case is only about property. And we have to distinguish between what a probate court does, which is characterize property in death cases and often in guardianship cases, and divide property. The probate court has no jurisdiction to to make a just and right division of property. Only the district court or a court given family law jurisdiction has the ability, number one, to make a just and right division of property, which does not require 50-50 division, and number two, to look to other assets that may be in the estate to make decisions about what is available for child support for the child. The child was not a focus in the probate court at all, nor was preservation of the community estate.
Why the just and right, there is not a specific grant of family law to the probate court, but why isn't a property contest and divorce a claim against an estate of an adult person who's MCM but happens to be in a marriage relationship? So there's a guardianship, there's an estate. Why isn't a claim by one spouse against the other on the assets of the marriage a claim against the estate?
It is. But
so why isn't the probate code, which very clearly says the probate court has this jurisdiction of claims appertaining to an estate, put that jurisdiction in the probate court?
Well, for one thing, the probate court has a conflict of interest in this matter where it's already taken a position in favor of protection of the ward. That, I think, first of all, renders it possibly unable to make a just and right decision if the just and right decision would require anything other than a 50-50 division of community property in this matter. Second of all,
may I ask you to interrupt? All of your comments are based on the assumption that there is no jurisdiction of a family law case in a probate court.
That's correct.
So any argument that the probate judge, based on the opposite assumption that he or she can't make those decisions that are required by the family law in connection with the divorce and division of property don't stand up then. Because that judge has got to follow the family law if it has jurisdiction and do what that law says vis-a-vis whatever the issues are between the two parties, even though one of them is a ward because that particular spouse is not consistent. Would you agree with that if you take that original presumption?
Yes, because that would be the county court of law situation where they got a specific grant of family law jurisdiction, and under those situations, clearly they would.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. Can you waive the issue of adequate remedy of law?
I can say
I know.
I honestly don't know whether I can or not. I make the effort to do so.
And is there a live controversy?
Yes, sir. Now that's the part that I do want to talk about. There definitely is a live controversy. That file.
Would you stop just a minute? What does it exactly mean when you say we're going to waive the claim that mandamus is inappropriate?
The original brief filed in this case, and I picked it up when I rebriefed it, alleged that mandamus was not an appropriate remedy to issue from the third court, and therefore that was one of the reasons why this court should mandamus the third court to lift its order, because there's an adequate remedy in the appeal. And I'm saying I don't want to talk about that if I can avoid it.
Is that not a jurisdictional issue?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I don't think
adequate remedy. Well, if there's no problem with the mandamus that the Court of Appeals entered against the probate judge, what is there for us to decide if you're saying we don't want you to overturn the mandamus, we just want you to look at a jurisdictional issue?
No, sir, I do want you to overturn the mandamus, but not on the grounds that it shouldn't have been decided by mandamus, not on the grounds that there was an adequate remedy at law.
On the grounds that it was wrong.
On the grounds it was wrong, yes, sir.
An abuse of discretion.
Abuse of discretion because it violated the law, yes, sir. I mean, it instructed a point on jurisdiction that was wrong, that was contrary to the law.
So then, if suggested, can you waive adequate remedy on appeal?
I will brief the court on that, and I don't know the answer right now.
Well, I understand now you're in the district court.
Yes, and a motion.
And so how would you, in the judgment you would be appealing from is from the district court.
And there's no question the district court has jurisdiction. But no one's saying it doesn't. The only issue is, could the probate court take it away from the district court?
Yes,
how would you raise that on appeal of the district court judgment?
You would raise it on appeal that the district court, in fact, doesn't have jurisdiction, because if a proper plea and abatement or motion to transfer is filed, then, and assuming, let's say, that the district court has concurrent jurisdiction, one of our points is it doesn't have jurisdiction because it had to be filed in the probate court. But let's assume that the district court had concurrent jurisdiction on it. Once a proper plea is filed to move it to the court with dominant jurisdiction, the probate court, then any order issued by the district court is a void order.
Except we have a mandamus here saying, directing the probate court to withdraw the order.
And that mandamus is not a final mandamus until this court says so. I do want to respond to whether this is moot. We filed in this court.
I know you want to get to that.
Let's ask him that question right off the bat.
It won't take but a second. We filed in this court, as part of the record, on January the 5th, the motion for new trial that's been filed by Mr. Graham, the successor guardian, saying that the court erred in the way it applied the property settlement agreement, erred in awarding separate property as a lump sum child support, erred in not crediting child support obligation with Social Security disability. So there is a motion for new trial filed on the basis of what the court did with reference to any sort of Rule 11 agreement. This case is not moot and is not final in the district court.
Yes. Let me ask you this question now. Do you represent the interest of either Gitta or Richard Milton?
I represent the interest of Richard Milton.
I thought Richard Milton had settled in a district court in a Rule 11 proceeding, with a Rule 11.
Mr. Milton, whatever Mr. Milton did in the district court, it did not get incorporated properly into the judgment.
Well, did you represent Mr. Milton when he entered that Rule 11 agreement in district court?
No, sir. I had nothing to do with the abortion.
Who do you represent? I mean,
I represent the...
Yeah, the dispute here was between a non-compensamentous award and his wife, a person who tried to commit suicide, Bostwick, and his wife. And apparently, they were represented by counsel, but they're not in district court, and they seem to have settled the property and custody and other issues. And I'm trying to... If that happened, who do you represent here other than Judge Herman Jones, who wants... Guy Herman, who wants to say, well, the Court of Appeals, whatever you did in terms of the law, you stripped me of jurisdiction where you should have done it. Do I mischaracterize it wrongly? If I made a mistake, straighten it out for me.
Yes, sir, you are. I represent the successor guardian whose position is he should never have been forced to do anything in the district court, and he did it over protest, and it's not final in the district court anyway because the judge did not incorporate properly any sort of an agreement that was reached. I represent the only party on Mr. Milton's side who can appear before this court, and that is Sam Graham, the successor trustee.
When will the motion for new trial be overruled by operation of law with the outside judge?
It's quite some time off. This thing was filed, isn't it? It extends the appeal time to a total of 90 days from the date of judgment, I think. It's quite some time. It was filed on December the 31st.
And the judgment was there?
The date of the judgment was... December
17th. I had asked this question of Ms. Rodnick. To transfer the personal assets of the ward, the stock, does that require approval of the probate court? Does Judge Herman have to sign off on a transfer of assets of the ward to be transferred to somebody else?
Absolutely.
Regardless of the district court judgment, does Judge Herman retain the authority in the probate court to sign off on a transfer of assets?
The authority and the duty.
Any other questions?
I had asked you earlier about why it was a good thing or a bad thing jurisprudentially to have the case in one court or another. when you get around to writing us about the jurisdictional issue, would you include a response to that?
I will, sir. Thank you very much.
That concludes the arguments for the court today, and all these arguments were submitted, all briefs and oral submissions. Marshall will now adjourn the court.
All